Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne. What we are about to share with you all is an IG conversation, Instagram conversation that I had with two incredible organizer, mother, artists who are based in and around Chicago, who a few years ago lost a shared loved one. And their story touched me and touched my life. I ended up being part of the circle of support that they called upon as they moved through the aftermath of this loss. And the processes that they went through were so incredible, so beautiful, that they wanted to share them out so that they might be of use to other people in grief, and other people trying to figure out how to make family in the aftermath of loss. So in this moment, there are so many of us, so many people in the world who are having to figure out how to keep going after impossible loss. And I thought that this conversation was really beautiful, and it feels like it's part of the How to Survive the End of the World conversations and lessons. So give it a listen, and yeah, sending you all a lot of love, and I hope this is of use to you. And I hope you're doing well today, as well as you can. Okay, I love y'all.
I am Christiana. I'm a writer and the mother of Ori. And Janae and I first met in 2014 in the wake of the Ferguson uprising. So our relationship starts in comradeship, in responding to that uprising, and then has taken so many dynamic shapes since then, and is landing in a really, really beautiful space right now, unfolding and deepening, as you described.
I'm Janae Strong. I am a filmmaker and organizer and mommy to Yari. And yeah, I remember when Christiana and I first met, we were both kind of in other facets of our life. And then the movement kind of pushed us into really supporting each other and leaning on each other. So in the way that the universe does has cycled us through a lot. So now we're supporting each other in a new way. So very cool.
Beautiful. Welcome to both of you for coming into this space. So I mentioned before that y'all share a tragedy, that y'all share something that is really heartbreaking. And so I want to tell people this is the trigger warning that we're going to be sharing about the death of a loved one. And I wonder if, do y'all want to tell the story of what happened here? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I can. We lost, in the physical form, the father of our children, Ori and Yari, in 2021. Malik Alim, who is and was really a towering activist organizer in his own right, at the time of his transition, was working at the Chicago Community Bond Fund as the organizer for the campaign to end money bail, and during his time on this physical plane, successfully saw Illinois be the first state in the union to abolish the use of cash bond. And then also in 2021, while we were on a family vacation, he drowned during a boating accident. And, you know, me and his children were there in the water with him when this happened. So it was a very sudden loss, and, you know, Malik is and was the love of my life. So losing my domestic partner, my lover, but also my co-parent, and Malik's fatherhood was absolutely like part of his core identity. Yeah. And what he, I think, contributed most powerfully to this material plane, and continues to do so from the spiritual plane. But, you know, we miss him heartily in the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Janae, do you want to share a little bit about what all the relationships were at that time. Where were y'all at that time?
So Malik and I at the time of his transition were in a co-parenting relationship, and I tell this story to folks all the time that he and I, our departure from our romantic relationship was very fraught with a lot of challenges. It was also at a moment where our iteration of the movement was going through a lot of challenges and interpersonal struggle. So there was a lot of turmoil just overall. And then Yari was born December 31st, 2016, and that was the same year I remember Trump and everything. So it was just a very hard time in general. And so the kind of years following that moment of our departure from our romantic relationship, we were still struggling through our co-parentingship. And I always tell folks that the beauty of the universe and the medicine of the universe is that it will always prepare you for something should you listen to it. And about 3 months before Malik transitioned, he just was coming to me with a different spirit, a spirit of reconciliation, a spirit of, hey, we should go and be together. Christiana's having a party for her episode. Do you want to come? We should all be together. And I, for some reason, in this moment, was like, I'm open to that, where previously I hadn't been open. And so those last 3 months, I think we were in a really beautiful place of co-parenting and a budding new chapter of friendship that was extending to, the hope of bringing our blended families together.
Beautiful. And I got the opportunity to work with Malik on the Bill Ayers show on his podcast. And Malik was the producer, and he was like so fun. A lot of times the producers are like behind the scenes, you don't really know that they're there. And Malik was like, I'm here. We're here, we're having a great time. He just really made it a blast, and Bill is always a blast. But when I found out that this happened, and then I heard from y'all, Christian, I think you were the first one to reach out to just ask, can y'all help? And I was always, and I continue to be really blown away by the fact that it felt like almost the first thing y'all were thinking about was we have to family, family as a verb. We need a family right now. And so I just want to ask you a little bit, where that impulse came from, what came up in you that was like, oh, this is kind of one of the first things we need to attend to? Because I'll share with the folks watching. We went down the path and we ended up pausing a little bit and then going some more. But it was like we laid the foundation almost right away that it was like, see, so yeah, I don't know who wants to share that, but it was so meaningful to me. I was like, yes.
I can share just from my perspective of when it happened. I was in Atlanta with my best friend, Jonathan Likes, who was co-producing this Black Joy experience in Atlanta for like a week. And we were there for a week. And it was the last day. And there was a lot of weird energy in the air, even where I was at in Atlanta, but I didn't know what it was yet. And I got the phone call about what was happening and that they were searching for Malik. And so I was in a tailspin for that next 24 hours and got on the first flight the next day to Chicago and had to go to Fox Lake. And I stayed in the house and was with Yari and was with everyone in that moment. And I had gotten my son, so my son Akeem, who also lived in the house with Yari and Malik and I, previously, we were all in that house together where the accident took place, and everyone was just in that state of trauma. And the only thing I could think about is like, okay, if I'm here, how can I be of service? How can I be helpful? I was not here for the trauma of the event, so what can I do with my physical person and my energy right now? And I was seeing that Yari and Akeem and Ori were on the couch together and they were playing games and laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just stunned me that they were still able to have this resilience as children. So I think honestly, the children were the first ones that signaled, okay, we need to, if they can experience this trauma and be sitting together, laughing together, how can I, as an adult person, like step in and learn from that? And so that was the first kind of signaling. And then Christiana, we had a tender moment, Chris, when I was laying in the bed with you and we were crying together. And we were having a conversation and we were saying the things that we needed to say to each other in that moment. And she expressed that she wanted 40 days to not separate Yari and Ori, who'd been used to seeing each other pretty much almost every day, if not every other day. And so we went to Atlanta. I had to go for work. I offered, hey, do you want to come stay with me while I work? And maybe it'll help you get out of, this space and you could decompress and just, take care of yourself. And we did that and we stayed in Atlanta for a while. And then that's when we were on the phone and we had that moment where we were like, okay, so it was like so much of like, let's do the thing that needs to be done. But I think at that moment of pause, it was like, okay, how do we do the thing that needs to be done in a way that feels good?
I love that because I think that there's so much of like good intention, right? We want to be these kind of people. We have these kind of values. And then I know in my somatics training, it's always like, well, what is true in us is what comes out under the pressure of grief, under the pressure of tragedy, under the pressure of scarcity, under the pressures. It's like what comes out, and what we're trying to do is change and transform so deeply that even in this kind of moment, what comes out is love, and what comes out is moving towards connection. So, Christiana, first of all, I would love to hear from you. 40 days. What was the significance of that for you? And then, how did you? What was the process of beginning to reach out and figure out?
Honestly, I forgot that I said that. That's wild.
I remember back when you
But
first told me, I was like, 40 days, how do you know that?
I'm sure, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I got it from somewhere. And also, like, what I remember about that time is like in the immediate, like, every moment from the moment that he went in the water, like, there was so much just instinctual action and intuition. So I'm sure that 40 days came from that space as well. But also, I mean, of course, I want to echo what Janae said about just like the children being the guide. But for me, I also just felt such a deep fidelity to Malik and his spirit and his life, and allowing my body and my life and my spirit to be a vessel for his continuation. I knew that he would not want his physical transition to disrupt his children's relationship, that them being together was the most important thing for him. And then also, when I thought about how I would want for them to be able to look back on this moment, having each other and being able to lean on each other. Was something that was so important to me, and that like I just felt a lot of fire behind, like this is what they need and this is what he would want for them. And so that was, just my lighthouse, and all of the energy that I brought to the situation.
I think that's so beautiful. There's so much grief unfolding right now, and part of why I thought it was really beautiful to be able to have this conversation now is to be able to make these offers. Like, intuition will guide some of this. Children will guide some of this. Like, thinking about what are the values of the person I loved who is gone, and like there's all this wisdom that's coming up. And I don't want to romanticize the process. It was not an easy one. So are there any challenges inside the process that feel like shareable?
Like Christiana laid the foreground, is that we were first in relationship as comrades, and I think it was, what was the year? I don't know, those years blur to me, but 2014, I think you said was the year. And then Malik and I, we started our Love in 2015. It was at the Movement for Black Lives convening in Cleveland, which was, we were in my hometown, and it was a whole lot of things going on at that convening, and that's when we began. And then we were together and lived together with my son Akeem. And then by 2016, we had Yari at our home. And by 2017, we were having a lot of ruptures. And we had a very, very, very difficult breakup. And so,
Sorry.
yes, thank you. And it was in that same kind of universe of time that Christiana and our relationship, we had been, continued comrades, but from a distance, we hadn't had a lot of interaction. And around that year of 2017, there was a lot of stuff brewing. It was some mess going on. It was some mess going on. And so Christiana and I definitely had interactions in 2017 that were not the most positive. We weren't necessarily aligned on a lot of things. And so with that compounded thing of like, I've had this really heartbreaking moment with my partner. I'm having a heartbreaking moment in the movement, and it's just a time of heartbreak for a lot of us. When once Christiana and Malik created their love and established their union and had their home, it was a big, big, big challenge. It was a big challenge because I was still reeling from all the grief that I was having. And then, change in the midst of that reeling, it was not something that I welcomed. It was very difficult. A lot of it, honestly, is because of the own challenges that Malik and I were having. And so by the time that the transition happened, you have to now do an order of operations of, okay, what is the thing that I am going to prioritize feeling right now? Because I feel anger, I feel resentment, I feel grief, I feel remorse, I feel regret, I feel like I wish this thing never happened. Then maybe this wouldn't happen. And then it's those grief cycles, you're bargaining and questioning and denying. And so it was definitely hard. So while the children were leading the way, and the intuition was leading the way, we are very real humans on this earth having real emotions.
Yes, exactly.
So we were having moments of conflict. And I think one thing that Christiana was teaching me, and I'll let her share what she was taking away, but one thing that Christiana was teaching me is that there is a will in relationships that are meant to endure and have purpose and have real purpose, not just, oh, I like you, I love you, but like have a real purpose to them. There is a will and a persistence that will endure past the anger, the resentment, the pettiness. And that's what Christiana brought to those challenges. It's like, okay, and I'm still here, right? And whereas I am more of a shutdown, look, don't talk to me. Leave me alone. And so I was learning. We were doing some learning with that for sure.
It was sweet. I would just say holding y'all because Christiana would be like, I'm in, and you're like, I'm out. And I'm like, both of these are like, I'm caring for myself, right? I'm really caring for myself. But it was like, okay, we're caring for ourselves, and how do we find alignment in that? Because this isn't this, right? We're gonna figure out this. So yeah, Christiana.
I mean, as you brought up the 40 days, which has like just slipped away from my memory as so many other experiences have filled that space since then. But when you brought it up, what I remember about it was not just 40 days of having the kids together, but for me it was really like 40 days of caring for myself in a deep, ritualized, and rigorous way. Because I knew that if I didn't, I would lose my mind. And I knew that, with only one biological parent on the physical plane, that like I could not afford to lose my mind for the sake of Ori. That, without Malik here, that he really needed me to be well. And so that I had to be just like fierce about being well. And so that's also what those 40 days were for me. And I think inside of that, like one of the many things that my relationship with Janae has taught me and like revealed to me about myself, is that like I want it all like right now. Like I'm already there. I want to do it now. I'm fully in, you know? And so, you know, inside of that, like I just already saw what the relationship could be, you know, like what I needed it to be. And I was just ready to already be at that destination. And I don't think it ever even occurred to me until that there was like slowing down and steps to get there. And that was painful. And yeah, inside of that being really painful, it was an act of will to like be persistent. Because, you know, like the retreat, like, you know, to protect my tender heart, like is kind of an option on the table, but like not really because, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, bell hooks has given me such like a useful definition for love, you know, which, you know, I reduce to like the will to nurture. And, you know, that is like what I ground back to whenever things are tough and difficult. It's like, do I have the will to nurture? Can I bring the will to nurture to the situation? If I can utter the words, I love you, if I say that this is a love relationship, then what, you know, how much act of will can I bring to it? And so even inside of like it being sort of like counter to how I exist. To like pause and slow down. I had that will, and it was such a beautiful gift to have that shown to me, because what then unfolded was us building trust and building relationship like slowly over time, which, you know, obviously is then so much more enduring and resilient, and for which I have a lot of gratitude.
So y'all did that work. Y'all have worked really hard, and
Still
you're
doing,
still doing that
for
work. I
sure,
was
you
gonna
know.
ask like where it's landed, you know, where do you feel like you've landed in the arc of this love work?
I think that, you know, part of the slowing down was absolutely being able to listen to, hear, and hold each other's boundaries and needs. And admittedly, like boundaries are not like the easiest thing for
No, they're not
me.
the easiest thing for most of us.
And so like I feel like in this relationship, like I've gotten a lot of practice in just like hearing and receiving and respecting and making space for boundaries. And then really getting to experience in real time, like how much spaciousness opens up, like once you're able to do that work. And so I think that's kind of like the practice that we're in right now. But then practically speaking, like I think we've landed at a place where we are really beautifully able to like share co-parenting needs, you know, like trade off who's getting kids to dance, like plan their extracurriculars together, you know, be able to like respond when one of the other of us needs, you know, childcare support, and build that across distance and geography. So like right before we hopped on this call, we were trying to figure out like how Janae and the kids can be in New Orleans with me and Ori, and what that might look like. So, you know, and really like continuing that, you know, cross-country, tri-coastal, bi-coastal, co-parenting relationship, like wherever spirit pulls us, because I think, you know, spirit be moving both of us around a lot.
Yeah, no, I would definitely add to that. I think the most beautiful gift that I am receiving from this work is that I have now somebody that I'm in relationship with who lives like a whole like life with a host of things that are in it. And I get to be privy to that. And Ori is living a life. Like, I remember last summer, we were getting photos from Ori putting daddy stickers all over Ghana. Then he was putting them in New Orleans. And it was just like, so now just kind of like working through the challenges of like, okay, let's build this relationship. And I think a lot of what it was is I'd be remiss not to talk about the grief retreat that you pointed us to with Mawulisa. And we did a lot of hard work at that retreat. I think the 40 days was this is impulse, this is instinct, survival, preservation. Then we had our pause moment, and then it was like, okay, we actually need to be kind of a little bit more process procedural about this. And we were working through. And then when we had the grief retreat, I think that was a major transformation in our relationship. And it's not because we had a great time and we're like, laughing and kikiing the whole time. Like, we were surfacing a lot of deep feelings that surrounded not only Malik's transition, but other events that preceded that. That were some of them were just one-to-one, Christiana and I, without Malik even being a part of the story. And so being able to unearth all of those pieces, like resentments, regrets, remorses, and then kind of closing it out with what are our appreciations, what are our acknowledgments, what are our commitments, and then doing that ritual practice on the land. It was a big deal. And I think the thing again for me with the children, and I say so much about the children as a footnote, I'll just put for me, I went through family separation as a child. So that's always been like, I don't want to have my child be separated from her sibling. Like, that is very important to me. And so at the end of the grief retreat, the children were able to voice what they appreciated or wanted to acknowledge. And they had so many. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know y'all were paying attention. They were like running around in the back. They were like playing with the they were playing with like the sticks in the yard. So I was like, I didn't know. But the children are always present. The children are always seeing, feeling, and understanding what the adult people are doing and what the energies and the spirits are doing. So I think that for me, and we also chose to drive there and drive back. So that's like 13 hours driving in a car, 13 hours driving back. So we had a lot of time to touch on a lot of stuff and also to just be with each other. And I think that was really, really important. And then that laid the groundwork for more trust and more leaning on of each other for, the children, if we need to support each other for childcare. And then I'll just say one more thing about the ritualistic practice of Christiana and her fierce wellness commitments. I was talking to her, we text and we check in. I was telling her that I was moving through some things, and it was, I was having a challenging time, as I think we all are with this moment in the world. And she was like, well, I've just had to become ritualistic about it. And I get this little care package, and it's like Epsom salt, it's like chocolate. I'm like, girl, you knew I needed this. And so I think that on the other side, and just like Christiana was saying, this is still an active commitment and an active work, but there's things that I never imagined, right? So out of like that service to what needs to happen, there's more beauty that I hadn't even considered or thought of before.
I'm really moved by both of you. I'm always moved by both of you. And I'm really moved and grateful that you were willing to be vulnerable in this way and to like share your story with, the world, the Instagram world, I mean, y'all really trusted me with a lot. Y'all both were, you really let me see so much of who you both were and where you were. And I just love you both so much. And I also feel complete. I'm grateful. Yeah, we did a good job. I'm like, high five. I love y'all. What I'm gonna do is, and also thank you to everyone who tuned in to be in this tender moment with us. I felt the tenderness through the whole crew. I hope the rest of your days are gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous. I love y'all.
Love.
Yeah. Bye.